السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أفتؤمنون ببعض الكتاب وتكفرون ببعض، فما جزاء من يفعل ذلك منكم إلا خزي في الحياة الدنيا ويوم القيامة يردون إلى أشد العذاب وما الله بغافل عما تعملون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام and most respected brothers, the ayat of the Quran Sharif which I have just recited was recited last week, and I was discussing the Bani Israel, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave them orders, Allah Ta'ala gave them commands, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave them different ahkam, the Tawrat was given to them, and they were also given the same instructions with regards to certain aspects as we have been given. There were changes in the Shariat, but with regards to honesty, with regards to kindness to parents, with regards to serving the poor, the needy, or with regards to taking care of the orphans, or there was some form of salat also, there was some kind of zakat also. So these type of ahkam were given to them. But what they did is that they accepted some of it and they rejected some of it. In other words, they did not make amal, they did not practice on some of them. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala punished them very severely, and one of the punishments which befell them was disgrace, humiliation. That position of honor and dignity and glory which they enjoyed was snatched away from them. So Allah Ta'ala mentions this in the Quran Sharif, not as a story but to give us lessons. That we have to look into our lives and the life of the Ummah of Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at large. That is this not our situation? Do we practice on all the teachings of Islam? Or those things which suit us we accept, and those things which are against our nafs we reject? And I think I was discussing also that something that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does not accept is open rebellion. As a human being, a person can make a mistake, he can err, he can fault, he can commit some sin accidentally. But open rebellion is something that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does not accept. Then azab comes on the ummah in different forms. I gave you just one example last Jummah of the beard. But if we have to look at our lives, then even the farais, those things which are compulsory, which are upon which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam informed us that the person who misses out one salat without any valid reason, if the person is missing out just one salat, then he has committed kufr. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala absolves himself. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala takes no responsibility upon himself to assist that person who forgoes a salat. One salat without a valid reason, if a person has to miss, make qaza, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he absolves himself. He says, I am not responsible for assisting and helping this person. Now if one person in the ummah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, is not going to help because that person is missing salat purposely, then look at our condition. Where it is a big joke, if you have to go to our walimas, our marriages, and our other feasts, and our other functions, a large number will be standing. No question of salat. Some people will go and make wuzu and make salat, and the others will watch. These people who have gone to make salat, they haven't got the himmat and the courage to tell those people that it's time for namaz, because they can expect some kind of statements which may be of kufr then, that you mind your own business. So they haven't got the himmat to tell them. And as a result, what happens is exactly what the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam states, that at such a time, then even if your pious ones are going to make dua, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will not accept it. And Allah ta'ala will appoint over you rulers who will have no mercy on your young ones, and they will have no respect for your elders. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's azab will come in different forms. So, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. As I say, that when we go to Makkah Sharif, Madina Sharif, we don't go there to look for faults and look for weakness of people. There we take our weakness and our shortcomings and present it before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We say, oh Allah, we have come here with our baggage of sins, with our mountains of sins, and we have come here so that, oh Allah, you may forgive us, and so that we may return clean and pure, and then we may fulfill all the rights of people that we may have trampled. When we return, we'll refund and repay to whomsoever whatever is due, and we'll seek forgiveness from whomsoever we have to ask forgiveness. But that is what we go there for. And we go there for our du'as. But there are many things that come before our very eyes there, which we cannot avoid. And something that is so common is that you go to any foyer there of a hotel, and there you will find big, big pictures of the king of the time, as if he is the one that is to be worshipped, or the kings of the past, and music, and filthy films. All these things are commonplace in those hotels, which, as I mentioned last week, at one time, many of those places were the places where the homes of the Sahaba-e-Kiram, the beloved companions of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, were. Now when the souls of those Sahabas are informed that that place where you used to make your tahajjud and your ishraq and your chasht, and that place where you used to shed your tears before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in the late part of the night, and that very place in which you used to prepare for jihad, and that very place in which most probably you may have invited Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to have a meal with you, in that very place today they are listening to music, and they are watching the filthy films on the television screen, and they are engaging in such sins which will make shaitan also ashamed. It is haram to take porn movies or to take porn magazine into Makkah Sharif or Madina Sharif. If you are arrested at the airport, then you may be put in for life, or you may be even executed. But those same films are shown on the television. 45 to 50, and one place they said even 200 channels are available. The newspapers, they give you a full history of what is being shown in the circuit, on the television. Now when this is, if this is not open rebellion, then what else is open rebellion? And this I am talking about a city or a country which says that we apply Islamic laws. We cut off the hand if a person steals. Now this is in that country. So is this not أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابُ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. What will be your condition? If you are going to reject part of the ayat and accept part of it, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, what else could be the punishment except khizyun fil hayati dunya, disgrace in this worldly life, and in the akhirat severe punishment. Is this not a disgrace and an embarrassment and a humiliation coming upon the entire ummah? Because if this is the condition of that land from where Islam spread, the land of the birth of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the land where the Quran Sharif was revealed, and the land from where the ahkam of Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam spread throughout the world. If this is the condition of the headquarters, then what must we say about the Middle Eastern countries or the Muslim countries, whether it is Pakistan or whether it is Jordan, or whether it is Syria, or whether it is Qatar, or whether it is Egypt, or whichever country we may call as Muslim country. Is this not happening in all those countries? وَأَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. That acceptance of some hukams of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and rejection of the others. So then is this not disgrace and humiliation that we have to go with a begging bowl, sometimes to the United Nations and sometimes to the United States, and also fall prey to all the bribes that they offer, that if you assist us and help us in defeating your own Muslim brothers, then we will give you so many billion dollars as aid and as grant. Is this not disgrace and humiliation that those lands which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala blessed with so much of oil wealth, that they could have been dominating, they could have had their own production of weapons, they could have made their own bombs and missiles, they could have manufactured their own aeroplanes, and they could have made progress that way, both in the religious and worldly matters they could have been dominating. But today, with all their oil wealth, they are at the mercy of these nations who are their enemies. Is this not the punishment because of acceptance of certain ahkam and rejection of others? أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ فَمَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ يَفْعَلُ ذَلِكَ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Disgrace, embarrassment and humiliation. Asking the whole world, please come to our assistance. Now that is on the governmental level. Come on to our level, individual level. When in our individual lives also we are going to do the same thing. Acceptance of certain ahkam of Allah Ta'ala and rejection of others, then there will be embarrassment, there will be shame, there will be disgrace, there will be humiliation. There will be a reversal of roles. Every person is complaining today, sometimes, of the labor regulations and laws and legislation which is making life miserable and difficult. And they say that now it is as if they have become our masters and we have become their slaves. Then there is a reversal of roles where they say the wife is not obeying the husband anymore. And the husband says that the husbands are complaining that the wives are not obeying, and the wives are complaining that the husbands, they are not showing that generosity and kindness and love and care and affection anymore. The children are complaining, the parents are complaining, brothers are complaining, neighbors are complaining. Everywhere there is nothing but humiliation and disgrace and suffering, in spite of having everything, but we seem to have got nothing. أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's help and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's nusrat is haq. And indeed it comes after some trials and some tests. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went through severe tests and trials. The Sahaba-i-Kiram went through severe tests and trials. But in the battle of Badr, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam goes there with 313 and with just a few swords and a few horses and hardly any ammunition, and the other side they are armed to the teeth, and 1,000 of them, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, after checking, then he goes into sajda and then he prays to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam afterwards gets up from the sajda and he raises his hands. Even his sheet falls off and he cries so much before Allah that Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu has to console him. And what does Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says? Oh my Allah, fulfill the promise that you made to me. Fulfill the promise that you made to me. If these 313 have to be exterminated today, there will be nobody left on the earth to worship you. In that state he was. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala assured him that the promise will be fulfilled. Why? Because each and every sahabi that was with him had accepted every hukam of Allah Ta'ala. There was no question of accepting some and rejecting some. These days if we say, or if somebody has to speak on namaz and salat, then they say while the anti-terrorism bill is being fast-tracked, these maulanas and ulamas got no other work but to tell the ummah about salat. When somebody talks about zakat, when somebody talks about giving up of sins, when somebody says that build up your taluk and relationship with Allah Ta'ala and seek from Him and then do all these things as tadbir and as a means. Then we say that in these times they worried about beard and they worried about pants above the ankles and they worried about this and about that. Everything is trivial. They say these are trivial things. Na'uzu billahi min zalik. When the ummah will consider all these ahkam as trivial, then they must again look into that ayat of the Quran Sharif, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ فَمَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ يَفْعَلُ ذَلِكَ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Whenever I read this word, خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا, shame, disgrace, humiliation. And then when we look around, we find nothing else except that which Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran Sharif. So therefore, I think I had mentioned that I wanted to analyze the lives of the Sahaba-e-Kiram. That what were they? Because if we have to talk about the glorious era of Islam, then that glorious era was none other than that of the Sahaba-e-Kiram. Which other era was more glorious than that of the Sahaba-e-Kiram, the companions of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? But in their lives, if we have to look at it, all these things which we are calling trivial, what importance they were given in their lives, that is what I had intended to discuss, but we went on some other track. So if we have to look at the lives of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came to this world, it was not that they did not have food to eat, they had no clothes to wear, or they did not have homes to live in. In accordance with their times, whatever was the need of the time, their times, for survival, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had provided for them. He gave them the skill of how to do farming, agriculture. They were owners of cattle, sheep, and they made their living by bartering and doing other things. They wore clothes. They may have worn sheets, but they wore clothes. They made jackets out of the skin. Whatever it was, in their time, whatever the need was, Allah Ta'ala had provided them. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was not sent to this world so that he may show us how we can improve on farming, agriculture, or how we can also compete in the industries and marketplaces, and how we can excel and become great traders. That was not his purpose. Yes, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Kasbul halal farizatun ba'dal fariza. The earning of halal is a farz, it's a compulsory thing after the other farais. And in the marketplace, if you can excel and if you can go the limits and the heights, as long as you are earning in a halal way, and you are not indulging in those things which Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam have cursed, like the borrowing on interest and the giving on interest. But the time has come now when interest also, we say, is a trivial thing. Kaisa ye inqilab hai, dekh ke dil kabab hai. Kaisa ye inqilab hai, dekh ke dil kabab hai. Kehte hain ab sawab hai, sood mein aur qimar mein. What a revolution has taken place in the ummah. Kehte hain ab sawab hai. Kaisa ye inqilab hai. What a kind of revolution has taken place. Dekh ke dil kabab hai. Looking at the condition and the halat of the ummah, the hearts of the ahlullah, the hearts of the friends of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala have become kebabs. How the kebab becomes roasted. Kehte hain ab sawab hai sood mein aur qimar mein. They say now there's sawab even in interest and in gambling. Why? Because if you got interest money and you loan it to somebody without charging further interest, then you get sawab. So people now accumulate interest and then they lend the interest money for good causes. And what they say, we are not charging any profit on the interest. Na'uzu billahi min zalik. That which was absolute filth in the eye of Allah Ta'ala. Now we say, kehte hain ab sawab hai sood mein aur qimar mein. Then when the lotto announced that a certain percentage of the profits will be going to charities, so many Muslims lined up in the queue give us also some part of the profits. We are also a welfare organization. You can find out and check up. You'll see in the list many, many Muslim names who have applied. For what? For funds from the lottery. Kehte hain ab sawab hai sood mein aur qimar mein. Ha! How do we expect Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's rahmat and mercy? When our masjids are going to be built then with that kind of monies, when our jamaat khanas are going to be built with that kind of monies, when our madrasas are going to be flourishing in that kind of money, what kind of ulama are you going to then produce? What kind of students are then going to come out from such institutions? And what kind of rahmat and barakat and hidayat are you going to get from such masajid and from such madrasas? If we are not going to end up with quarrels, arguments, fights and court cases, then what else do we expect? أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ فَمَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ يَفْعَلُ ذَلِكَ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Is this not خِزْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا? Is this not embarrassment and shame upon the community that we have to take our begging bowl and go to the lotto that please, we are also a community that requires your assistance. Will this person who is going to the lotto to ask them for assistance, will ever have the courage to sit on a mimbar and say that gambling is haram? Then if our children are going to end up in the south coast or north coast or whatever coast they call that, that casino coast, then who is going to be blamed for that? So my respected brothers, I will inshallah, if Allah Ta'ala gives me life, make a lot of dua for my health. If Allah Ta'ala gives me health and life to continue, then inshallah we'll continue analyzing that what the Sahaba Ikram way. I just mentioned one thing, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not come just so that people may get better clothes, just so that they may get better homes, just so that they may get better transport. That was not his purpose, his maqsad. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala remove the difficulties, the hardships, the problems that the ummah is facing throughout the world. Wallah, it must be causing such hurt and pain and injury to my Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's heart when he is informed that this is the condition of that ummah for whom your blood was shed so much, for whom you cried whole night, for whom your feet swelled, for whom so much of sacrifices you made, but they are not prepared to come to your deen. They are not prepared to accept your teachings. Whatever suits their whim and fancy and desire, then they will say that is Islam. And anything that goes against their nafs and against their egos and against their passions and against their whims and against their fancies, then they will reject. And that is the cause of the suffering of your ummah when he is informed. Then what must be his condition? I wish we could only understand what right he has over us. And then we say, we sing his praises, we read one Naat Sharif, so therefore we have done our duty. May Allah Ta'ala protect Iraq also from the evil ambitions and campaign and the evil intentions and the scheming and the plotting and the planning of the enemies and all other Muslim states and the entire ummah throughout the world. May Allah Ta'ala send his ghaibi nusrat and madad. And what we should say, that, oh Allah, don't look at our condition. Look at the tears of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam which has flowed for this ummah. And look at the blood of my Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And oh Allah, remove our difficulties and problems. Don't look at our condition, because we will not be able to match the required levels and standards. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.